a chair by you, so you're going to have to get this because it's a little bit of scripture, and we don't want you to think that I'm making this up. So Daniel chapter 1, whenever you get there, say, go Eagles, right? Because nobody wants to see the Saints play the Cowboys. Amen. And so so you know who you're cheering for, right, this afternoon. That defense, right, are the Bears. We don't want to see the Bears either. Amen. And Daniel chapter 1, this year, I'm a goal setter. How many people keep resolutions, make resolutions, you make them? I never used to be very good at this. I didn't resolve to do anything, so therefore I did nothing. And so I grew up in a church, and every New Year's Eve, they would say, hey, write all your New Year's resolutions, and you write them on a piece of paper, and then you're going to bring them to the front, and we're going to keep them in a box for you, and then the next year, we're going to give them back to you. And I said, that's a great idea. The only problem was that every time that I would open up the box in the next year, I'd like, dang, I never kept any of my resolutions. And so year after year, we did this, and then I said, hey, let's start that at Hope Community Church. So at Hope Community Church, we would write our resolutions, we'd write our goals for the new year, and say, okay, this is what God's going to do. We would set it in a box, and again, I would open it up in 2013, 14, 15, and I just never did what I intended to do. Anybody's like that in the room this morning? Just me. And so I said, one day I saw this girl, you know, smartphones are smart, and so she's taking a picture of her resolutions that she made in the church. I said, that's interesting. So I did one better. I kept the sheet of paper. I taped it to my desk in 2017, and I said, this is going to be my greatest spiritual year yet. And so we preached that sermon series right here at Hope Community Church. It's going to be my greatest spiritual year yet. And I had all of my goals pasted on my desk. And every day that I would go into work, I would see those goals and say, okay, great. Am I doing them? Do you know what? Yes, I did. 2017, my greatest spiritual year. Don't say no, Miss Yvette. And so 2017 was my greatest spiritual year. I read through the Word of God. I memorized scripture. And so I just became someone that said, wow, I've met some of my goals. Well, in 2018, I said, I'm going to do that again. And so I began to write some of my goals. And I just said, you know what? I'm not going to make a resolution. I'm going to set goals for my life. And so I set some goals in 2018, and I missed one of them. But I want to tell you, I made every single other one in 2018. Today, I want to talk to you about not just making a resolution, because people will break resolutions, right? But some of you have already broken your resolutions, because today is January 6th, and 6 days have passed by, and you've gone back to your old patterns, the old way that you did things, the old way that you talked, the old way that you lived. And yet, Jesus is a person that was resolute. I asked my kids, I said, what are your New Year's resolutions? One of mine said nothing. I said, that's great. Absolutely nothing, Mom. I have no resolutions. I think he was trying to get under my skin. I asked my other one, I said, what's your resolution? He said, I'm going to know everything. I'm just going to know everything in the whole world. I said, wow. So I asked my one of my girls, and she said, you know, I'm really trying not to toot. You know, the other word for toot. And I was sort of taken aback because she's my princess kid. And she said, I'm just trying to hold it in, Mom, all day so that when I come home, y'all get it all. Amen. And so that's her. That is seriously her resolution. I quit asking. I'm not even asking my youngest kid. She's crazy. I don't know. I don't want to know what her youngest resolution. I don't know. You keep it to yourself. You keep it to yourself. A resolution. Let's look at the definition. A resolution is a firm decision to not do something. Synonyms, intention. We all have that intention of visiting someone, writing a thank you note. It's a decision. It's an intent. But a lot of people will break the intent, right? You had an intention to do something, but if you don't do it, it's not a big problem. That is what a resolution is by definition. However, there is another word that is a little bit more powerful, and it's the word resolute. Resolute says this: admirably purposeful, determined, and unwavering. Synonyms mean unshakable, unflattering, tenacious, unwavering, unswerving, and single-minded. Can you say single-minded? Single-minded, and you're firm. There is a difference between a resolution, which you had an intention of doing, versus being resolute. A resolution is something you make. Resolute is who you are. Now, if you're writing notes, you should write that down. down. Because you want to be a person that not just says a vow with your words. You want to be a person at the end of your days. Wow, she was resolute. Wow, he was resolute. He was a man of God when he was 20 and 30 and 40 and 50. Resolute is who you are. I'm a resolute mom. I don't change my mind. I don't have a problem with banning people from Fortnite for weeks. Amen? And so I don't care about your Fortnite foolishness. I'm just going to be resolute. And a yes is a yes and a no is a no. And we're just going to be resolute. Why? Because it's a purposed person. It's a purpose that's unshakable, single-minded, and firm. And the person that I see in the Word of God is Daniel. Everybody say Daniel. Now, Daniel was a man of God. He was a man that didn't just make a resolution one time that I'm going to serve Jesus or say a sinner prayer one time. He said, no, I'm going to be a person that's resolute. Look at Daniel chapter 1. Now, when you become resolute, it doesn't mean that all your life's problems go away, that nothing bad will happen in 2019. I am not God. I am not the enemy. Amen. And so in 2019, I can't tell you what's going to happen, what diagnosis will happen. I can't tell you any of those things. Some people jump into the new year thinking, oh, it's all going to be great. And then you've already seen all these problems that have happened in 2019, the death of young people and all these different things. You can't change the circumstances around you, but you can be a resolute person in the middle of your circumstance. And so Daniel chapter 1, Daniel is a man of God, and he also is taken into a bad circumstance. Look at chapter 1 in verse 1. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar came to Babylon, and he came to Jerusalem, and he besieged it. Now, that simply means that he came into where Daniel lived, and he took over the palace. He took over all the people, and he took over Jerusalem, and he besieged it. It means he literally became the king of Babylon. He became the king of Jerusalem as well. And here's what he does. He takes all the people that are the best looking people, the mighty looking people, the strong looking people. He takes those people and he says, you're going to come with me to serve in my kingdom. Now, Daniel had no charge over this. He had no control over what happened to him. Whenever you are besieged, you are besieged. When you're taken captive, you're taken captive. There's no choice that he has in the matter. And so it says in verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, little g. And it says, and he placed the vessels of the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Aphnez and his chief eunuch to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning of all, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach him the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them to a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank, and they were to be educated for 3 years. And at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among those were Daniel. Can you say Daniel? Hananiah, say Hananiah. Mishael, say Mishael. And Azariah, say Azariah. And they were of the tribe of Judah. That was the people that just did what we did. They praise and they worship the Lord. So they're taking from their hometown of Jerusalem. They're taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. And then they say, you're going to learn our language. You're going to learn what we do. You're going to become just like us. But Daniel was a man, though captive in a foreign land, was going to be resolute. He said, No, I serve God Almighty. And it doesn't matter if you train me in a certain language. It doesn't matter if you train me to do and worship your little gods, little g. He said, I am going to be a man that is resolute. It doesn't matter what circumstance comes my way. I am a resolute man. And then he has his friends with him, right? You see his friends, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And verse 7, it says, and the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel they called Belteshazzar. I'm not going to make you say that name because this is actually a change of their name. Now look at the screen. It says this, Belshazzar means may Bel protect. He was a little god that the Chaldeans served. And so he actually had a name change. No longer was his name going to be Daniel. Now everyone was going to refer to him as Belshazzar. And then it says a little bit further, Hananiah, he called Shadrach. You might have heard of these boys. Now Shadrach was also a derivative, a name off of a little god. And so Shadrach had a change of name from who he was because they were trying to transform him into the person that served probably this god called Marduk. M-A-R-D-U-K. The next guy was called Mishael. That was his Hebrew name. But Mishael became Meshach. You ever heard of him? Meshach? And Meshach is also probably a name of a little god, a little small g, and serve this Marduk. So they're changing these boys' names. They're going to break. And then Azariah, that was who God has. Actually, the name Azariah. Let me go back to the first one. Hananiah means my God is gracious. So they changed his name from my God is gracious to Shadrach. Mishael was who is what God is. And then they changed his name to Meshach. But this is the most powerful one. Azariah, everybody say Azariah. Azariah's name means Yahweh has helped. That means that the God of heaven has helped him. And guess what they changed his name to? Abednego. And Abednego means a servant of Nebo. Again, another false god. So all four of these men's name are taken captive, forced to do things that they have never done worshiping the God Yahweh. Instead, they take captive, and not only do they take them captive, they change their name. Now, names are not a big deal here in the United States. Some of us just get named because Tara's a cool name, and your mom watched, what was that? You remember that old show? I just forgot it. Yeah, and Tara Plantation. And so my mom just thought that was a cool name, and she named me that. And then you heard the other day there was a girl, and her name was Absidy. And you know how you spell it? A-B-C-D-E. And her name was Absidy, get it? And so people just name their kids weird names these days, and that's okay. But God never had that in the Old Testament. Your names were significant, and you were named after the man or the woman of God that you were continue to be. And yet they knew, if I can change their name, I can get to them. I can make them become who we really want them to be. And so they knew, as we're changing their names, we are going to do this. And so they say, and drink our wine, eat our food, do these things. And all the time it says no. It says this in verse 8. It says in Daniel's faithfulness. I don't know what your Bible says, but mine says Daniel's faithfulness. So look at verse 7. It says, and the chief of the eunuchs gave them these names. Daniel is called Belshazzar. Hananiah is called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego, the servant of Nebo. It says in verse 8, but Daniel resolved. If you have an underlining kind of Bible and you want to highlight anything, verse 8 says, but Daniel resolved. But Daniel resolved. See, all of what happened previously in the first 7 verses doesn't matter, because in verse 8 it says, though they tried to make him do everything like the other people, the Chaldeans, it says that Daniel resolved. Look at it. It says to resolve is to decide firmly on a course of action. So when you resolve to do something, it means that you have determined to do something before the actual event ever happens. I'll give you an example. Me and Ted, we got engaged really quickly. That's my husband, in case you don't know. He's in the front row. And so we started dating in January. And then by March, we're engaged. We resolved that we weren't going to have sex before marriage. That was something that before the passionate moment, we said, we want to honor God with our bodies. So we said, we're not going to do that before we get married. So we got married in August instead of, you know, a lot later. And so we had resolved that we were going to be a man and a woman after God, not in the moment that we were going to do that we were going to resolve that before it ever got to a place where I could change my mind. And so every day I come home after visiting him, and I come home. You notice that word, I came home after visiting him at 10 o'clock. I set my own curfew because I'm 32 years old, and I set my own curfew, and I made sure that I was a person that resolved, not in the situation, because you don't resolve in a situation. You have to make a resolve before it ever happens. Resolve. Daniel didn't make his mind up right then. He had already made his mind up in verse 1. Before we even know of a man named Daniel, he had resolved that he was going to be resolute. Daniel resolved. Look at verse 8. It says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to follow him and not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor. Everybody say favor. You want the favor of God in your life? Be a person that resolves to follow God no matter what. You want the anointing of God, the power of God in your life? You start being a person that says, I am resolved. I'm resolute. 2019, my year to be resolute before the king. I'm not going to be wishy-washy. James says it. Don't be back and forth. He says instead, follow after God. Be resolute. Make you a person that says yes to his kingdom and to your plans. Number one, resolve. Decide firmly on a course of action. Number one thing that I want to say this morning is you have to personally resolve. You personally, that's point number one. You personally have to resolve. So if you're looking at your life, you can't do it. You say, well, I can't do it. But not your family, young people. Your family can't resolve for you. I can't resolve. My mom couldn't resolve for me. You personally had to resolve, not your group of people. They can't resolve for you. You personally, not your pastor, though I would love to resolve for you. I'm sort of a fixer by nature, but I cannot resolve for you. I cannot, not anyone else. You are responsible for you. You. You're the person. You get to be it. I love these messages where nothing's on me and everything's on you. You get to decide, will you be like a Daniel this year and be resolute in your faith? You are responsible for you. Amen. Daniel was resolute. Amen. You could change his name, but his faith was going to remain. You could change his name, but his faith in the Savior, Jesus Christ, was going to remain. Resolve is no different at 13. At 13, I resolved I was going to follow Christ. That's when I came to know the Lord, and I sort of let go of some things. But you know what? I can be a resolved person at 41. Amen. I wanted to say 40, but I can't lie. And so at 41, I can be a resolved person. At 85, I can be a resolved person. I can be resolute in my faith. The decisions are different at 13 than they are at 40, than I'm sure they are at 85. But I can be a person that no matter what happens, no matter what takes place in my life, I am going to be resolute. You have to make that decision. And you know what? For me, it has not been a one-time decision. It's been over and over again. It's a pattern of my life. Yes, God, 2019, I resolve. I make myself resolute. Yes, God, in 2020, I'm going to be resolute. You make that pattern over and over in your life. You resolve first. And then number two, your actions are determined by your resolve. You can't flip those two around. You can't say, oh, I'm just going to be resolved, and then my actions are going to fit. You have to resolve first so that your actions fall in line. I'm going to say that again. You have to make a resolve first. For me, in 2018, I sat down and said, Lord, what is my 2018 going to look like? There's scripture reading, Bible reading, memorization. God, what is that going to look like? And then when I made that resolve, then what happened was my actions made because of the resolve. So whenever I get up in the morning, I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. Amen. So I have to open up my Bible because I've resolved to set up a spiritual discipline in my life that's going to lead me closer to Christ. And so the resolve happens first, but then the pattern is your actions are determined by your resolve. Notice Daniel did that too. His actions, all in the book of Daniel, will be determined because he is a resolved man. He's not going to meet dedicated to idols. He's not going to drink the wine. He's going to continue in these disciplines. And some of the disciplines I was thinking about in our lives, and hopefully you got a spiritual goal list. And I've been thinking about this, and this is for you. This is not for me. I already have one for myself personally. I have one for the church that we have worked out. What do we want to see happen at Hope Community Church? Why? I want to be resolved in 2019. So the first one that we're talking about today is spiritual goals. What are your spiritual goals? Now, we're going to talk about financial goals and relational goals and health and emotional goals, so keep on coming. But what are your spiritual resolve? Today, I'm going to ask you that question. What are you looking at spiritually to get closer to Christ? Church attendance. Just think if you would come and say, you know what? I no longer make an excuse. Every Sunday, I and my family will find myself in the house of the Lord. I'm not saying we're perfect, but I say God shows up, and that we are asking the Lord for a direct message from His heart to your ears. That's how we pray. That's how I pray. That's how I spent some of my last evening in the middle of the night when I can't go back to sleep. It's not on Facebook. It's praying for the house of God, for the church of God. God, what do they need to hear? This is a place, or a place, a community where you can be a part. The Bible says to do it more and more as you see the day approaching, not less and less. People do it less and less. Oh, church, I don't know. My family, you know, you get up and no cars on the road, right? Can I get an amen? But not true that God has called us. We are to be resolute, and that we're going to be a part of fellowship, of restoring ourselves to Christ. Maybe today God was asking you to be in a D group. We have so many classes that are offered on Wednesday nights. On Sunday morning, we offer basic. It starts next week. Want to be a part of Hope Community? Show up at 9:30. Just get out of bed. Make yourself, I am resolved in my spiritual discipline, and be a part. There's basic that starts next Sunday at 9:30, and then you can be a part of the nursery or the worship team or whatever it is that God's put on your heart. Or maybe there's beyond basic. Jeremy teaches that class, and just say, hey, I want to know more. I want to be disciplined. I want to have a group, an accountability group. We start next week, Sunday, 9:30, Spanish and English. Come learn Spanish. If you don't know Spanish, come learn English. If you don't know English, be a part of a group. Show up on Wednesday night. So maybe last year you were good at church attendance, and then this year God is calling you to go a little bit deeper. I'm going to be a part of a D group at Hope Community. I'm going to be looking on how I can be discipled. Jesus always, his heart is always, crowds are great. I love crowds. I do. But God is always taking those people from the crowd, and then he's saying, hey, let me invest in your life. Let me pour into you the words of God. Let me hold you accountable. Let us as iron sharpens iron. And you know where that happens? It doesn't happen today on Sunday mornings. It happens in those small groups, in discipleship groups, where we're holding each other accountable, and we're being a part of community. And if something bad happens, we mourn with you. And if something good happens, we rejoice with you. That is called the house of God, the church of God. You should be involved in a D group. And then you should be involved in serving. It's our heart. Restore, disciple, and then serve. So as you disciple, you go out and you serve. We need people in the nursery. Amen. My gifting is not babies. And so we need people that their gifting is babies and they can love on some babies. We need people that their gifting is young kids and they can teach them young kids. If you want to help with teens, or if you want to help with a thrift store, or if you want to help on Wednesdays or Sundays or Hope Extreme, whatever it is that God has called you to, missions, you say, that's how I want to serve. Amen. Come with us to El Salvador. We leave in July. We'll bring you back. We promise. And so be a part. Be a part. Say, I want to serve. Hey, we need somebody to do words. Like, you know, like I think my son likes it sometimes, but most of the time he doesn't. Come and be a part. Let 2019, you're going to be faithful in church attendance. You're going to make a goal to read the word in your bulletin. There is a way that you can read through the Bible in a year. I do it every week. In fact, I'm going to post it on Facebook on Monday morning. It's going to show you the 5 chapters that you should read. And you just grab one. Right when you go to the welcome desk, they have a Bible plan. It's called 265 Days. An amazing man wrote it, just took out some scriptures that are pointed and help us. Read the word. Read the word. Maybe be a faster. You know, we fast on Mondays. Some churches call like these 21-day fasts. I love them. But I believe that fasting is supposed to be throughout the year. I'm supposed to be fasting and asking God to move. So maybe start fasting with us on money. On on Mondays. And so just begin to say, God, this year, what are my spiritual goals? I knew a lady, she used to drive our bus for us. Whenever we first got started a long time ago, she's in heaven now, and she loved me, and so that was good. And so she'd always read through the Bible. She would start with Genesis to Revelation. She was, I don't know how old before she passed away. You know, she'd read the Bible like 10, 20, 30 times, just over and over again, getting herself in the Word of God. She was such a woman of encouragement. Cancer took over her body, and to the day that she died, I visited her the night before she passed away, a smiling on her heart, because she knew where she was going. She knew the Jesus that she served. Why? Because she read the Word. She knew the Word of God, and she said, I'm going to read the Word of God, and I'm going to know Him. It's not just for your pastors, my friends. It is for you to make some spiritual goals in your life. Sometimes resolve doesn't stick unless someone else is involved. Daniel knew my resolve might stick. So he became involved with other believers. Who were those believers? We know them by their other names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were his friends. He stuck to them. Why? Because they loved God. They loved Yahweh. They were his family. I don't know where his family was, but those were his brothers in Christ. Christian friends can help you and keep you accountable. You know, maybe today when you go home, talk to your family. Talk to the people that you live with, stay with, and say, what is your goal for 2019? And can you hold me accountable? My husband knew that my goal was to read through the Bible in 2018. And every morning when he woke up to read the Word, what happened? It pricked my heart. Are you reading the Word? Are you doing what God has called you to do? We know each other's goals. Why? So that if I start falling, he can come and gently, with the love of the Lord, pick me up and say, come on, you made a goal in 2019. Your resolve sticks. The commitment sticks when you're holding yourself accountable. The resolution, that's a day. Resolve, it's a lifetime. The Jesus who got a hold of me when I was 13 has hung on tight. He is stuck even when I've tried to pull away. And how that must have been the story of Daniel. His name might have changed, but his faith remained. You know the name of Daniel, we have a slide for this. The name of Daniel, the reason why I didn't tell you about his name, it has three syllables. And each one is in Hebrew, and it means Dan. Dan actually means, you know, whenever you read Hebrew, you read it the other way. So whenever you see Daniel, it means judge. Dan actually means judge. In fact, there was a tribe of Dan. So Daniel actually means judge. The little E right in the middle actually means I or my, and L always refers to God, big O, capital G. So Daniel's name, though they tried to change it, his name, his Hebrew name, is God is my judge. Dan I L. Every time that he said his name to himself, every time that he might have been tempted by wine, he might have been tempted to do what all the other people in this captivity were doing, he remembered this simple word, Dan I L. God is my judge. One day you will stand before your Father, not me, not your pastors. You will stand before God, and he will ask you, were you resolute? Were you resolved in your faith? And you have to answer not before me. You have to answer before him. God is our judge. And the reason why I am resolved is because I remember who he is. God. But he's also, of course, he's full of grace and he's full of mercy. But one day he will also, I will stand before him as my judge. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? To God, you'll give an account for your life. Not to Nebuchadnezzar, not to Belshazzar, that was coming. See, Daniel knew that his name might have changed. They might have tried to change his name. They might have said, Daniel, your name is going to mean may Bel, B-E-L, protect my life. But he knew in the deepest of who he was that God was his judge. And that he had resolved as a young child to follow him no matter what. Through captivity, through serving of all those other little gods. He said, no. He said, I am called and destined for a higher purpose. My friends, so are you. God has called you. He has given you a purpose and a vision. If you've come to know Christ, if you've asked Him to be the Lord and the Savior of your life, He is saying in 2019, what are you going to do for the kingdom of God? How are you going to be resolved? What are your goals? And today I would encourage you, and this week, look at your spiritual goals. In your bulletin, there's some chapters that you can read. So read the chapters. Be a part of a discipleship group. Show up on Wednesday. Show up Sunday at 9:30 and say, hey, this is me. This is our family. In 2019, we're going to be a family that serves the Lord no matter what happens. I'm not really promising that good things will happen. I'm not promising bad things will happen. God's just looking for a resolute person. That His kingdom reigns no matter what. Maybe you're a parent in the room and you would say, you know what? In the evenings, I'm going to start reading the Word of God and we're going to start praying together as a family. There is nothing like that. I grew up in a family that served the Lord. And every night, my mom and dad would take us into the room and we would read the Scriptures. I didn't always listen. A lot of times me and my sister would try to kill each other. But it didn't matter because God got a hold of our hearts and today we serve the Lord. It's just being resolute. Maybe you have some kids that are just wilding out. And you don't know what to do. I would say find yourself in the house of God every Sunday morning. Don't you give up. Drag them to youth group. My mom did that for me. I wasn't even saved. We were at everything at the church. And one day God got a hold of my heart in such a way that it wasn't about my parents anymore. It was about Him. You start praying. You start reading the Word. You start fasting. And you just resolve. You're not influenced by your circumstances. Oh, this has happened and this has happened. I understand those things are hard. But I serve a God that forever reigns. And so do you. In this 2019, our Word... resolute. We're going to be a resolute people. God, I pray that You would just help us. God, as we set goals for our life in 2019, God, spiritual goals this week, God, I pray, God, that we would just spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer and worship and fasting, Scripture memory. God, the Bible says, Your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against You. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, I just pray that we would fall in love with Your Word. God, as we open up the Word of God in this 2019, that it would come alive and You would speak to us, not just on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday nights, but God, that we would be a resolute people, a person that says yes and amen to Your promises and to Your plans. God, that we would up our game. God, I just pray that we'll be a faithful people like Daniel. What an incredible story, God, of him and the fire and the lion's dens of his life. Didn't matter. He was going to continue serving You. God, help us to be the same way. In Jesus' name, amen. Today in your bulletin, grab one of those things. Make some resolutions. Not resolutions, be resolute. Amen. Find someone in the room and be accountable in Jesus' name. We will see you Wednesday at 6:30. Hope Treasures is open. So if you want to go and shop at a thrift store, save money. Hallelujah. Save money. And stop. Go thrift store shopping. Go Eagles. Love you guys. Grab some things from your, whatever you need. Talk to someone. And we'll see you again Wednesday at 6:30. In Jesus' name.